Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Obstetra call on the 23rd of July 2012. On the call today we have Mikey O'Connor, Jörg Schweiger and Mark Koster. From staff we have Julie Headland, myself, Matthew Peregrine. And we have apologies from Olivier Cassano-Blanc, Bart Strasenko and Patrick Jones. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much and over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Natalie. Welcome all to this July 23rd call. As you probably heard and have been following on the list, we've got a little bit of a puzzler that we need to get resolved about the work plan for the board's project. And so Julie will be rejoining us on the call in a minute after she raises Patrick, who's driving his daughter to camp today. It is hard to get things done in August. But
It's not even August yet.
Not even August yet. It's only July. Yeah. Anyway, I am presuming, as you've been probably following on the Ops DSSA list, I posted a little note just a minute ago comparing the two work plans. And I think Olivier's comments are in response to the work plan that's actually been posted as the RFP. And it very much mirrors sort of the kind of risk assessment that we're chartered to do, and that was there was a reaction to that in Prague by a bunch of people, and so there was sort of a rump session after the three security working groups met, in which a gaggle of us came up with a newer one, which Patrick circulated to our list, so I scraped off the new version of the work plan and the old version of the work plan and just posted it back to the list so you can compare it. And the reason we need to find out from Patrick whether that was intentional or not is because, depending on what the answer is, it does have a pretty dramatic impact on what we do next. So, I'm really sorry I missed that. I just assumed that the work plan that went out was the new one. So we'll see if Julie gets through to him. Anyway, so the agenda, I think what I'm going to do is presume that the new one is really the right one and that the one that got posted is a goof, because we've only been 10 days into the RFP cycle, so it's not a terrible goof to recover from. It's just sort of, oh, dear vendors, please take a look at this new one, although it does get tricky because I don't think that the vendors actually tell ICANN that they're preparing a bid, so there will have to be an announcement and a bunch of junk like that. Will be interesting. Because if it's the old work plan, then I think Olivier's note is kind of spot on, which is it's awfully close to what we're doing, and it's a head-scratcher. The little sketch that I sent out is based on the new work plan. I don't know. I just don't know how to proceed. What do you guys think? What do you think we ought to do? Should we just punt and wait till Thursday and see what's going on? I'm a little at sixes and sevens on this one. Not overwhelmed here. Well, I'll just keep rambling. Let me put my little sketch up on the screen. I can figure out how. And I'll kind of weave it into the work plan conversation.
Mikey?
Yeah, go ahead, York.
Yeah, may I interrupt you? I was just fiddling around with my telephone, so I couldn't interrupt you, and I wasn't able to hear everything you said. First, I just want to let you know that I haven't been capable of reading through all you have been posting, but I think I know what you're referring to. Just give me a yes or a no if I'm right or not. I think that either of those two groups who are still involved with stability and security and resiliency, and I think it was the board's team was...
Julie.
Oh, hey, Julie.
I finally connected with Patrick. He has not had a chance to look at the posting closely. His sense was that it was correct and that it was the new work plan and not the old one, but he can't say for certain until he can get back online to look at it. And he won't be able to do that probably for an hour or so since he's actually out in traffic right now.
Okay, but it sounds like the intent was to post the new one, not the old one.
And he thought that that was what was there and that it was correct, but,
Yeah, okay. Well, that helps, because if it means that the intent was to put a new work plan out, then we're fine. If it's just a logistical problem. I would think that if he had intended to post the old one, that it would be because the board committee met and decided to. I wouldn't think he'd do that on his own because he posted the new one to our list. So,
right. No, I mean, he thought it was correct, but he is going to check. So.
Okay. That helps because it means that we can kind of use that as a going-in position anyway and keep planning our work. So, York, just to sort of swing back to you, does that clarify where you're coming from, too?
I'm not sure because, as I said before, I haven't been able to go through all those postings, but I think that you are referring to probably a consultant being hired for supporting the boards group on SSRRT.
Yeah, exactly.
If that is the case, I think I've been talking to Bart after Prague, and I got a little bit upset about what has been drafted or what has been suggested, and that is just because if it was all about to list the possible attack vectors or the possible threats that are out there, then I would like to be this consultant being hired, because I think all the work as to identify what obvious threats are around has already been taken by us. So I wouldn't want to hire a consultant like that, because actually, as I said before, I think the SSA has done all the job. If it would be to analyze risks in depth, that will be a different thing. So am I correct with assuming that this is the hiring of the consultant is not only about identifying but about analyzing risk as well?
I can see that I need to replay the bidding. So let me take all of us through the two task lists and replay.
So would you agree that if it was just to identify risks, then most of the work has already been done by the SSA?
Yeah, and in fact, I think Olivier pretty much hit it in his post to the list. But let me replay the bidding, because I think that it'll help. So I've got a little document that I sent to the list a minute ago that puts the two work plans in the same document. So I'm going to just replay the old one first, which is the one that Olivier, I think, reacted to, although I'm not sure. The old one says a bunch of definitional stuff, which is pretty uncontroversial. And then here's the list of tasks that was in the old version. Inventory the risks, do an impact analysis, analyze the severity of the impact, and come up with mitigation. That reads with minor editing exactly like our charter. It's pretty much 100% overlap. And there was a pretty fair reaction to that, both going into Prague and then at Prague after the meeting, where a bunch of us, including Alejandro Pesanti from the SSRRT and Julie Hammer and me and Rahm and a bunch of people had reactions to this and said, wait a minute, you know, there's more to a risk framework than a risk assessment. And, you know, we wrote this in our report. And actually, I spent a fair amount of Prague sort of socializing this notion that yes, indeed, risk assessment is a part of risk management, but it is by no means all of it. And a risk management framework is not actually doing the work. It's setting up the managerial framework in which it's done. And that's what the board ought to concentrate on. That met with, okay, what should we do? And Julie Hammer and I said, I tell you what, we'll write a drop-in replacement to the work plan for you guys to take a look at. And if you think it's good, great. If you want to modify it, great. But it at least gets at the idea that we're trying to describe. So the work plan that made its way through, you know, Julie and I did the first draft, but, you know, then various and sundry people in the board risk group took a look at it and tweaked it a bit. And here's what resulted. And this is what I was thinking was in the work, it was in the RFP. So there's the same definitional stuff, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, here's the task, the methodological framework that ICANN will use to manage DNS security risk within the technical mission, blah, blah, blah. So we're starting to get a hint of that. And what we did is we dropped in a couple of diagrams that you'll recognize from our report that said, here are a couple of pictures that describe the components of a risk management framework for the consultants to take a look at so that the consultants would go, oh, yeah, I know how to do that. Those are familiar words to me. And we also stuck this other one in, another familiar picture, that said, look, you know, there's the stuff on the sort of lower right, which is kind of the managerial side, and then there's the stuff on the upper left, which is sort of the actual doing side, and these things are all sort of a part of the work that needs to be done in this definition by the board, you know, who does what, for whom, when, etc. Then we came up with a list of deliverables that does not describe a risk assessment. It says, so what we need is we need a description of the components of the framework itself. And we gave a list of examples. Risk assessment's one of those, because that is part of risk management, but it's not to go out and do one. It's to describe how to do one. Basically, the thought that we have is that they'll probably steal a lot of the stuff that we've already done for risk assessment, but that they need to go off and figure out similar stuff for all these other things. Then we go on in that next bullet to talk about who's responsible for what. This is sort of a recurring theme for us. Then it talks a little bit about the role and remit stuff with the scope boundaries, and the last bullet on this page is the risk model. Risk model is you know what we've built in the risk assessment with all those numbers and drop-down menus and you know that little methodology. But the methodology is just the methodology for risk assessment. There's more that needs to go into a risk model. Then there's a missing bullet here. That last one says an assessment of the ability. That's actually a bullet point as well. It just didn't, when I did the cut and paste, it didn't show up. So after they've figured out all these bits and pieces, you know, hopefully something that we'll recognize from those pictures we drew, you know, then the last thing the consultant's supposed to do in that phase is take a look at ICANN's ability to do all this stuff. Both the organization, you know, the corporation, and the broader community. And this kind of gets back to the roles and responsibilities stuff. You know, who should be doing what? How capable are they? What kind of resources might they need in order to do the job that they really need to do, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of a classic organizational framework consulting gig. It's not a risk assessment. Then in the next phase of this, is the what we said was, why don't you go off and conduct a bunch of review, you know, the usual, go out to the community and find out what the community thinks about it step. And so this is just the usual deliverables, the description, an analysis of public comments, a summary of the comments, and then any revisions that might come out of that. Because, you know, at that point, we, the DSSA, might say, you know, we're pretty smart about risk assessment. We've spent 2 years working on it. You might think about this and this and this. And then presumably some of those comments would find their way into the final draft. Then was a potential phase two. You know, basically the what I've described so far was where phase one would stop, because just doing that is a pretty substantial scope. And then in the potential phase two would be this notion of actually doing one of the whole framework, not just a risk assessment, but turning the crank of risk assessment, analyzing the risks, mitigating the risks, collecting data, and then doing another risk assessment. So this is a pretty substantial affair. I mean, this would take, I mean, just based on the amount of time it's taken us to get to where we're at, this would take a while, and it would certainly not meet Bill Graham's goal of having something done by Beijing. You know, I don't know. It would take a while. But, you know, this is the deliverable set for that big piece of work, which was agreement that there's resources to do the work, that there's actual tools, that there's a series of... And then here's the deliverables from that. First, a risk assessment. We undoubtedly help with that. then a risk plan that describes how the risks are going to be addressed, a bunch of standards, tools, and techniques, a monitoring process, and maybe another risk assessment to just see how all that went. That's what I'm calling the new work plan. That's the one that I thought I would see when I clicked on that link on the RFP page. And I was a little surprised at how vehement Olivier was, because I thought that was a pretty cool work plan, actually. We are way ahead of that. And so the debate that I was going to have with you and then with the larger group was, maybe we ought to wait until some of this stuff is done before we go ahead and do our risk assessment. There's a bunch of other stuff we can do in the meantime. But why don't we learn from what they've got to offer, especially in the subset of their work that aims at risk assessment, because they might teach us some stuff. So I was as surprised as anybody this morning when I took a look at the new version, the version that's out on the RFP site, which is basically the old work plan, which is do a risk assessment. And that's why I think it's so important that we check with Patrick to see what the intent was on that, because this is a big fork in the road for us. You're a guy, I would agree, if this is the work plan that the board is contracting for and they're doing it intentionally, then I think there is a huge overlap, and I think I share your concerns that, you know, we've already done a lot of this work. We're undoubtedly further up the speed, further up the learning curve on this than any consultant on the planet. There's no way that they can get to where we're at. But I'm hopeful that it's just a goof, that it's just a document error where the intent was to publish that much different work plan that I just ran you through. So I'm encouraged with Julie's comments that make it sound as though, you know, I think Patrick does need to go out and check once he comes down to land after taking his daughter to camp. But if that's the case, then I'm, you know, a lot more comfortable with where things are heading than if in fact we're back to just doing a risk assessment. That's going to take some it's going to take some reconciling to figure out how to behave. Did that make any sense at all, or was I just rambling through that rant that I just laid on you? I'm sorry that it's so rough. I just copy and pasted this stuff into a document about a half an hour ago, and so it's by no means smooth. But does that?
Okay, this is your for a transcript record. Let me try to articulate at least some parts of the thoughts that came to my mind right away. I think in the first place you're absolutely right with your thesis on that this can be it, but even if we would take the newer version, or the version that you are in favor of the RFP, I think there's a lot of question that relates to what we have been doing. In the first place, I think the big picture is right, that the board should be concerned with a much broader and larger picture, not just with risk assessment. But if they are concerned with a larger picture, then in the first place, two different clarifications do have to be applied. In the first place, if they do a plan, build, act circle, like all those risk assessment frameworks propose, then I think this could only be done with respect to ICANN as a very specific organization. So with respect to stability and security of the real operation they are running, so meaning like operating I think it was the F-root server?
Right.
So what they could do is just invent whichever, and I'm going to refer to that one afterwards, operate or try out a certain risk management framework for their very own operation and probably refine what they come up with or what a consultant could come up with just to make sure that they do have a proper risk assessment, risk management framework in place. The second thing would be, to my point of view, that they could just propose kind of a framework as a meta model to be accepted or to be refined for any other organization within the ICANN ecosystem to be adopted and by them, let's say for example by Mark or by Dienik or whoever, as kind of a risk management framework as a good practice. Because to my point of view, they could just only enact a risk framework for a specific operation, and that specific operation for sure for ICANN could only be operating a root server. So what they should be heading for is a meta framework that has to be adopted by all the organizations that are responsible for any critic resources that make the internet functioning. I hope I'm able to express myself.
This is so good, I'm not even trying to take notes. I'm just going to go listen to the transcripts. You're doing fine. Keep going.
Okay, thanks. And if we would drill down a little bit more into what should be in this in this meta framework, and if we would take a closer look into what our meaning the DSSA, specific role in that process might be, well, then I do have a problem to clearly state where we are and what we should be doing next, because as I can see it, ICANN is looking for consultancy for the complete picture, that is a management framework. What we have is just the analysis part, and we're not only having an analysis part that is stable, but we have a rough schedule or a rough idea what it's supposed to be, and we haven't gone through the whole assessment cycle yet. So we would have to refine our method, and that was our plan, the original plan, what we were supposed to do. So to my opinion, what we could do was just could say, okay, we've been doing some rough work, the consultant or ICANN might build upon, and we are done with that. And they could just enabling the other forces that are around in the SSR circus and go on with their business. The second opinion could be that we are going on with our work, that we are enabled to drive at least one going into deep assessment, that we are by that in a position to refine our method, and that the method then has been handed over to the consultant, and the consultant might adopt or even further refine the method that has been developed and tested by us to, make it a meta plan for organizations to adopt. And then they might as well start figuring out what has to be done to add to a management framework not only the assessment part, but the monitoring part and the reworking part and so forth. And the problem I'm seeing right now is that we are approaching the whole situation from two different perspectives. One is the board's group is trying to address everything, and then there's us. We are only concerned with the assessment, and we're not done yet. So the question really is, should we go on with our assessment work and deliver something that could be taken by the board's group, or should we just stop immediately because obviously somebody else is being tasked with the job we were meant to do in the first place, or are we looking for a clear delineation between the different tasks of the different groups?
I think that's a perfect segue into the little sketch that I wrote. So let me take you through that sketch. In order to start this, I have to presume that the new work plan is the one that's actually intended to go in the RFP. If the old work plan, just do a risk assessment, is in there, then I think we all just need to step back and digest that. But let's presume that it's just a mistake. And so then here's my little story. This is sort of based on some of the notes that I took on the last call, but I circle back to a few of the people on the call because the concern that I had on the call was that there might be some too embarrassing thing to say about what I personally was doing in this, and that I had somehow annoyed some strong power, and that they were concerned about what we were doing. And so I just checked back with Bart and Jim and a few other people to reassure myself that no, Mikey hadn't annoyed everybody, and the answer is no. Just so here's sort of the story, presuming that the new work plan is in place. Right now, our next phase in the report is go deep. And so, you know, our next job is to do a risk assessment to test our methodology and so on, just like you said. What came up on the last call is that the environment has changed a little bit and that we might want to revisit that report. One is that one of the underlying reasons why we were formed is because of the DNS cert issue, and that pressure has abated a bit given the changing of the guard. But the big deal is that there's all this overlap between these three groups, and it's getting kind of complicated as a result. And another thing that's changed since we wrote our report is that their work is finally actually, the board work is actually finally getting going. And a couple of observations about that work. One, and we, you know, this is sort of repeating things that, you know, you've already said, Jurt, so I just want to replay this bidding and then lead into sort of our choice, I think. I think two observations about the DNS, the board DNS work. One is that they may refine some of the stuff that we've already got. I'm presuming that they're going to take much of the stuff that we've already built, but they might add some things. Now, this, at least in the RFP as it stood, I didn't check the latest version, but all of this consultant work is supposed to be done by Toronto. So it's a pretty fast turnaround. I think the actual working work time on the consultant is like 10 weeks, and all the rest is bureaucracy. It's either getting it contracted or reviewing it or stuff like that. So I think the board's DNS stuff will happen pretty fast. And, you know, I could easily wait a month or two to get whatever they're going to say and fold it into what we're working on. That doesn't bother me a whole lot. And then the other thing is that phase two is that big, long thing where they're going to actually turn the crank one time. Clearly, when it comes to risk assessment, I think they'd be crazy not to involve us in that, since we are by far the furthest up the learning curve. So then I kind of came up with some things that we really need to do. Clearly, this business with overlaps is starting to get in people's way. And I think we need to map that out. Who does what on that giant six-sided diagram anyway, and who wants to do what, so that we stop stepping on each other's shoelaces? Because right now, this call is a perfect example of the problem that's arisen from these overlaps. Is, you know, what, you're doing that work plan, but wait, that's what we're doing. I mean, that's a complete waste of everybody's time. So I think we have to get that squared away. I think it would also be a good idea for us to get public comment on our report. I know in the GNSO, before the council can approve it, we have to go out for public comment one time. And so that's something we could do between now and Toronto. Just take this, you know, the GNSO cycle is about 2 months long to go out for public comment, and we could probably do it in such a way that it was clear that this is really public comment across all the ACs and SOs. But I think it would be great to get that done by Toronto as well. And then one of the things that Jim brought up is the need to sort of step back and see if we need to drop some people out who are, you know, on to other things and bring a new group of people in. I know on the GNSO side, we've got some folks who've changed jobs and just don't have the time anymore to be on the DSSA. So at least in the GNSO, I need to circle back and do that. And then, if we were to pursue it that way, we would not pursue our risk assessment between now and Toronto. We'd wait. We'd sort of let some of this dust settle. We'd get some of these overlaps and so on squared away. And then at Toronto, we could choose between a couple of approaches. One, which is the one that I sort of heard you saying, York, was, you know, we could go ahead and do this work that we've laid out for ourselves and then hand that work over to the consultants, you know, as a refined version of the methodology. I would be astounded if the consultants questioned the methodology that we've come up with or tried to replace it with something totally new. I suppose it's possible, but I would be just amazed if they did. And so what we could do is we could just go ahead and refine it. Now, another approach would be to wait maybe one more meeting maybe till Beijing, until the phase two of the board work actually starts, and then simply participate in it. And again, I would be astounded if we met any resistance to that, because we've been so effective. I threw in sort of the legalistic thing. If we need to make changes in our charter, we've got a mechanism to do that. We the co-chairs have to revise it, and then we have to circle back to our respective ACs and SOs and get their approval. But I'm not sure that any of this stuff that we're describing requires a charter change. That was the conversation I was planning to have today until we saw the old work plan.
So, hey, Mike, you have a question about all this.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
And that is, who's really sort of managing all these things? On the list, we have lots of chiefs and very few Indians, and who knows which direction we're going in.
Yeah. I think that's the gaps and overlaps problem for sure.
Yeah. So who's going to be the one that's going to resolve that? Cause the last thing I think any of us wants to do is have all these overlaps going on and everybody kind of confused who's doing what. I for one, am very confused of what group is doing what and why are you doing this. Those kind of questions are coming up.
Yeah.
How's that going to be resolved? Is that a I can't staff sort of thing to take up, or is, because we could change the charter all we want, but if there's still going to be overlap, then why? What's going on?
Right. Well, that was essentially Alejandro's response. You don't see much of Alejandro's words in any of this, but, you know, at the end of the Prague meeting, he came over and was scratching his head and saying, what in the dickens is going on here?
Yeah.
His reaction was pretty much identical to yours, and I think he's right. Mikey, have been very reluctant to try and tell the board what to do. I like it down at the bottom of the bottom-up process. Those lofty nosebleed heights of board membership are way above my pay grade. And, I think that one way to do this is in the context of this consultant's work. One way to view this consultant's project is to say, kind of like when people hire McKinsey to come in and do an organizational review, it's sort of borrow your watch and tell you what time it is consulting, but it's often quite useful to have somebody who is outside the process come in, talk to all the people who are inside the process, like us and the board and the SSR and registries and registrars and blah, 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 everybody. And then at least come up with a first cut at the answer to your question, Mark, which is, well, who's really going to resolve all this? And who's got that job? Because I think if the answer comes back, well, the ICANN staff, who's Patrick's boss? I've forgotten his name. The guy that runs DEFCON. If somebody on the ICANN staff has the job of resolving this overlap, I think that's going to meet with pretty substantial resistance from the community. And if the board committee is charged with that, then I think we need to improve the communication between the board committee and the rest of us, because they've been, except for Patrick, who asked support for both, there's hardly any overlap between these two groups, and so I think you're right. We've got a bunch of Indians in us going off and working pretty hard and coming up with a bunch of stuff, and a bunch of chiefs who are kind of out of touch in a way. I mean, that's the reaction I have
okay.
to that original work plan is...
So if that's true, I'm not sure what the feedback is. It sounds like it's very similar to my constituency as everybody else's. I send all the really good work that you've done and this group has done to my team, or to my constituency, rather, and they're sort of like, oh, that's interesting, thanks. And there's nothing more to be said or done with it. And so with that in mind, what are the next steps, you think, Mikey, that we're not really, from my perspective, I think we're not really being listened to outside of DSSA. And if that's true, what do we do next?
Well, you know, I think part of the, I mean, the GNSO has sort of a similar story to tell. We send the stuff along, and everybody says, great, thanks, and then that's about it. And I think part of the reason is because we built an airplane in order to fly it, and we didn't know we needed to do that. So basically what we've done is we've built a tool set, which once we are comfortable with it, and once it's been used a few times, I think some people in the community will find really useful. Others won't. Some are going to say, well, fine, but we already know how to do risk assessment in our organization. And so thanks a lot for building a methodology, but we're going to keep using our methodology, and I think that's fine. There are, I think, other organizations that will take a look at this methodology and say, oh, this is pretty helpful. This will help us refine what we're doing. I think Jacques's a good example of that. I think that Jacques may have already sort of sucked up a bunch of the stuff that we did and folded it back into his own organization. I'm not sure about that, but I wouldn't be surprised. So I think one of the customers that we have is organizations that don't already have a risk assessment methodology and can steal some of this stuff. That's kind of along to your point about best practices, a meta framework, useful material that can go out. I think another is, and I think that this is actually quite an important deliverable, is actually sorting out, or at least beginning to sort out, who's on this diagram and what role do they want to play. And I think that's maybe, Mark, where going back to your gang might get more interesting. Because I think one of the things that flows out of the very first risk category that we built, gaps in management, leadership, whatever it is, splits the root. I think, you know, this gaps and overlaps problem is one that will get the ACs and SOs to sit up and start paying attention. Because I know that when I go back to the GNSO and I say to the registries, where do you want to sit on a diagram that looks like this?
Uh-huh.
They're going to get a lot more interested in the conversation. Because, you know, they may say, well, we don't want anybody sitting on this diagram except us for our registry. And that's fine. But what about...
I think definitely true for the CCs.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, I think we've got a sort of gaps, overlaps puzzler to solve.
Well, let me ask you, just to kind of cut into you here a little bit, whose responsibility is it to do that? I guess I'm looking is DSSA sort of the head honcho over this, or someone else? Because I would imagine, or is it the consultant who's going to tell us this, so that we have either legitimacy or we can just kind of like, you know, retire off in some field someplace?
Well, I think that that's a choice for us to make. My inclination is to say that we should go ahead and take the lead on this and at least poll people between now and Toronto and get their reaction. You know, maybe put that picture in front of them and say, where do you want to sit on this picture? You know, not saying anything about what actually needs to get done, but just finding out where people want to sit and raising the issue so that then when we get to Toronto, maybe we can sit down with a bunch of those folks in a room and start figuring it out. I think that what this picture describes is a situation where there is no person or entity that has the authority to govern that whole picture. And I don't think that there is any appetite on anybody's part to put that authority in place. But at the same time, I think that without some way to coordinate who's doing what on that picture, we run the risk of either leaving gaps, which, you know, is a vulnerability and falls, I think, in our brief, or overlaps, which is what we're dealing with right now. And, you know, both of those are problematic for different reasons. And since we're the bottom of the bottom-up process and fairly effective, I'm thinking we might want to just go ahead and at least start that conversation between now and Toronto. Because I can't think of anybody else that can start it. I mean, the board can't, given their... I suppose they could, but they don't seem to have any appetite except to write RFPs.
You know? Am I getting you right, Mikey, that you're proposing kind of let's outpace those other guys. So let's go on with a going deep analysis and provide those other guys with our results and just convince them by the fear results?
No, actually what I was thinking is in this little section here, the alternative roles, I think we have a choice. I think the mapping out thing needs to happen by, or at least start by Toronto. And I wouldn't consider this part of the risk assessment that we're doing as much as it's just sorting out roles and responsibilities so that we don't tread on people's toes when we do a risk assessment. But then, you know, I really am of two minds about whether we just go ahead and outpace them or wait for them. I can see either.
So if I could, I really think that this needs to be sort of moderated by a third party.
Right.
And I think if we try to outpace someone, we're going to fail. I'll be blunt about it. I'm in the sort of camp saying I'd like to see what's going to happen next, and someone please tell me what's going to go on. I'll tell them, hey, there's lots of areas where we have overlap right now, and someone needs to be adult here to take care of the situation. I think we should consider the idea of suspending things until people get their act together, saying you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing this.
We're going to stop until you get your shit together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm the one. Let me I am completely in agreement with that. But let me offer two thoughts. I like the word suspend a lot more than I like the words stop or disband, because it took us 3 years to get this gang going, and it's a pretty amazing gang. I hate the idea of just disbanding it and saying, okay, well, we're done. So I'm kind of looking for a way to put it on a lower setting on the stove, but still keep it simmering while these other groups sort of catch up with us, because I think we are out in front of people. And I have to admit that I put the first one in there because I think it's only fair to put it in the choice set, but I prefer the wait until things are sorted out approach. So one thing is to keep things simmering is this list of stuff. Take the time between now and Toronto to work with folks to sort out some of these overlaps and at least come up with an idea about that. And then, you know, at least for me, I've got to get back to the GNSO. I've got to go through some bureaucracy there and, you know, get out the public comment and get in front of the council and, you know, get them to approve the report as drafted or, you know, make changes. So, I mean, I could quite easily entertain myself just with GNSO bureaucracy between now and Toronto. And also on a refresh, so that then by Toronto we might have a better sense of who's supposed to do what, you know, based partly on all these conversations and partly on what the consultant says. And then if they do a phase two, presumably they will, presumably there would be a role for the DSSA in that project, and we could kick back up. Now, another thing that we could add to this list, I'm going to just type it in because Julie Hammer and I have been having a conversation off list too, and that is to refine the methodology. One of the things that Julie raised, and I didn't have time to fold into the spreadsheet stuff, was that the scores that come out of the spreadsheet right now are really goofy. They range from 10 million to 1,000. And it's because of the way I'm doing the arithmetic in the spreadsheet. And so I could actually use some time working with a smaller group of people who are interested to run back through that spreadsheet and come out with a new draft of it that's not quite as goofy. And so, you know, I think that we could come up with a slightly lower energy, lower resource requirement set of stuff to do between now and Toronto, primarily to let the board group catch up with us.
Mikey? So,
yeah, go ahead, George.
So you're quite a transcript.
Oh, it's 9 o'clock. Does anybody have a hard stop, or can we keep going for some?
I kind of have in 2 or 3 minutes, but let me just wrap up what you've been suggesting. Personally, I could agree to not follow the alternative part, but to follow what you've just been proposing, like kind of suspend, I would agree to that. Just one question to clarify. If we would try to map out the overlaps, how would we do so? Would we do that by Patrick being a member or liaison in a variety of different groups, or how would we as a DSSA address this overlapping discussions, or wouldn't we see any role in clarification, or would we just leave it open to a consultant that may be hired?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a fan of consultants. I would think that one way to approach this, and, you know, this is, I'm sort of improvising, would be in our report, when we have this picture in our report, and I don't have the report open, so I won't take you to it, but we had a huge list of organizations that are on this map, this hexagonal map.
Yeah.
Ranging from registries, registrars,
yeah.
Start, first.
Recall that picture.
Yeah. One thought that I've got is let's just poll all those people and ask them, you know, spend a little time sprucing this picture up so that it makes more sense. I mean, without the context of our report, this picture doesn't make a lot of sense. But essentially build a mechanism to go out and ask those folks where they see themselves today, where they would like to see themselves, and things that they'd like to avoid having to do on a chart that looks like this or something else. And I think that that fits within our charter because of the very first risk area that we've identified, which is this gaps and overlaps, is a risk area that may be creating vulnerabilities. And we just want to do some research between now and Prague, not in a risk assessment context, but just in a resolve the boundary disputes context, in preparation for a meeting in Prague where we get as many of those folks in a room as we can to just have a conversation about it with no intent to come up with anything except better understanding of who's doing what, who wants to do what, who wants not to do certain things, and leave it at that.
And our first addressees would be Alejandro, for example, would be the management board, would be, what was Bill Graham?
I would think that we would try and reach out to everybody on that giant list. Well, we might do this in two phases. Yeah, we might do this first to Bill and Alejandro and us to develop the survey, the poll, if you will. But then we would invite everybody on that giant list of organizations, registries, registrars, START, DNS OARC, et cetera, to participate in the poll, to just get their observations of, you know, well, yeah, I do these things, and I don't do these other things, and I don't want to do those other things. So that we could populate this map with an indication of which organizations do which things on this map, or some other map. If they think the map is stupid, we can draw the map. Just to get people to identify, you know, where they want to sit.
Okay, and I think we as the DSSA made perfectly clear where we do see the remits that we have. It's up to those guys to make their statements and to make a suggestion on how they would include our work and our position, or exclude, or would try like to refine us our position.
Right, and you know, we just sit in that tiny little triangle that we identify in the report. We have no aspiration to go anywhere beyond that.
All right.
You know, but we are curious about who sits where else in this thing. And I think that that would be useful, because I would think that ICANN, the corporation, would say, well, we're bounded by our remit. you know, we run the F root or the L root or whichever one, I can't remember. You know, so we have sort of a corporate version of the answer to this. But then we've also got a community version that's quite different. Because I think in the community sense, ICANN has a huge role, especially in that middle purpley glue layer of, you know, assembling all these constituencies, you know, bringing together people in meetings, et cetera, et cetera. But there are other organizations that also do that. And so I think it's really just a matter of getting people at this early stage to stick their hand up and say, well, these are the things that we work on, and stop.
All right. So I would be in favor. I would be in favor of your suggestion.
Cool. Well, we'll certainly beat on this some more. Before we end, can I take this to the full DSSA, or, you know, they're getting impatient. They're starting to want an update, and
I think that'd be a great idea, Mikey.
Okay. I think what I'll do is I'll sort of take this conversation, package it up a little bit. We'll pick it up again on the Thursday call. By then, I'll know the answer from Patrick on the work plan, and that'll help. If the work plan comes back, the original one, I'm going to be stuck scratching my head because I don't know exactly what we do at that point. I'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Okay.
Okay, guys. Sorry it went a little over. I really appreciate the energy on this one. This was very helpful for me. And with that, Natalie, I think we can wrap this one up, and we'll see you on Thursday, and then some of you next month.
So, hey, Mikey,
yeah.
I'm going to be off the air for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay, great.
Are you going to be so off the air that you're not even doing email?
Next week I will be doing email, but the following week I'm going to be off, I hope.
Yeah.
Otherwise, bad things will happen if I'm on.
Yeah, no, I get that. I have a pretty good sense of where you're coming from. I share almost all of what you're saying, with my little caveat that I kind of want to keep the engine running.
Gotcha.
And,
okay.
That's the way I'll run.
Okay, cool. Thanks, man.
All right. See you, gang.
Bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thanks. Bye-bye.